Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready?
This evening in the Care to Read room. I hope that you are having a great time. decision maker 7, the one you need, the advocate, and this is the advisor, the one you want. Welcome to the Care to Read Room once again, ladies and gentlemen. We're embarking upon a new segment this evening, and we're going to be talking about the ninth sphere, which corresponds to the 14 years of life. This is a first initial homework assignment that I'm going to ask you to turn in. However, you do know you had homework from last week that you didn't turn in. But I'm going to ask you to do this particular assignment so we can have a discussion and we can bring up a topic that you all can participate in. I'd like to welcome you once again and thank you for tuning in and ask you to please lock in that dial. If you will please lock in those numbers and keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there at 646-478-0270. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to get ready to get permission from my elders to speak. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit about the topic that we're about to embark upon. The topic that we're about to embark upon is to get you ready to understand the various different stages of life and corresponding those stages to the years in your life. Wouldn't it be great to know what's going to transpire at each stage, whether or not you're going to go through the rites of passage stage and whether or not you've already passed the infancy stage? Wouldn't it be good to know exactly where you should be on your timeline and whether you're on purpose or if you're behind or delayed or whether you're premature? Now, some of us are prematurely behind in our spiritual walk and our spiritual knowledge. I'm just going to tell you, I know I am. The majority of us are light years behind in our spiritual walk and understanding spiritual things. That is why the more knowledge you get now, the easier it is to catch up and get yourself back on the timeline. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been covering information, talking about information that could benefit you. Yesterday, we brought into a spiritual realm about the new America of the, well, the United States of Africa. I mentioned that to you to get you intrigued to go and research it. If you haven't already done so, ladies and gentlemen, you definitely want to go find out what's that all about and who has been developing this new project and what exactly is going on with the alignment between Africa and the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not been involved in this research, you are light years behind. Now, I don't know if you're on NANU time or whatever, but you definitely got to know a little bit about the African Renaissance and what is transpiring. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is a fantastic time. It's almost like the Renaissance that transpired many, many years ago back in 1954 when they were rebuilding Harlem and rebuilding the African communities and creating jobs and the unions were coming into place. It is that time again over in Africa. They're developing things from unions to trade alliances to contracts, contractual agreements for people that are mining for gold. And there are people from all walks of life, the Japanese, the Chinese, the African Americans, and the Europeans are all fighting for the same work over in Europe. And there is a race to the finish line, ladies and gentlemen. And you probably haven't heard anything about it, I know, because everything you see has to be seen on TV. Because don't bother asking you if you want to go and do any research on the Internet, because it has to be on the TV, right? Wrong. You're not going to have assignments to get on the Internet and Google these topics that I'm talking to you about, the African Renaissance, the United States of Africa. Find out what's going on, because, see, you might be slipping away from your grounding here in the United States. It's holding a passport that is a dual citizenship passport that will allow you to go to and from Africa as if you're in the same state, as if you're on the same continent. Wouldn't that be grand to be able to go over to Africa and take a flight there back to the homeland and still be a United States citizen of the United States of Some of you are probably saying, I don't want no parts of Africa. I never left anything over there and never want to go back there. Then you are talking foolish. Do you know that Europe is one of the seven greatest wonders of the world, and Africa is still being explored after the apartheid? There's gold and oil everywhere. Do you know it's like going to California, mining for gold? You want to be a part of a country so rich in raw minerals, because if you are part of something that can produce your livelihood the rest of your life, where you don't have to sweat to the brows, your brows, making sure you have employment. If you're involved in something that's dealing with raw minerals, you could possibly go over there and have income for a lifetime. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to get more into that during our next segment starting next month. I just wanted to give you a tip of the iceberg to let you know what is basically turning in the minds of men right now. How do I get to Africa? Do you know a way that I can hitchhike a ride to Africa? How do I get over there and get to be a part of this? It's a new day, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about a renaissance that you wouldn't believe, building hotels, motels, entertainment, building all sorts of opportunities for businesses, corporate entities. You definitely want to check it out. Now, I'm not going to wet your whistle any more than that. I just gave you enough to get you excited so that every now and then when I speak on the topic, you're not completely lost and you can catch up. This is a part of getting on target and on purpose, catching up with the times and making sure you know what time it really is, having your ear to the ground, having the pulse of the people, so to speak, knowing what the frequencies are telling you. Didn't you feel rather antsy, like you needed to take a trip somewhere? Weren't you thinking about getting you a passport a long time ago, possibly even getting that passport within the next 6 months? Weren't you also trying to look up those new organizations called 2020 who are taking tour groups all over Africa and allowing them to bring their industry and their talent and their entrepreneurism there to start brand new and set up and assist them in developing the country? Yes, it's Jubilee time, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you the truth, it's Jubilee time. You ought to be shouting and kicking your way all the way to that post office to get the passport. I don't know about you, but I'm excited as can be, because finally it's an opportunity for us to go over and be a part of the initial stages of development, not coming in after the fact, but being in the thick of things. Well, we're going to get on that topic in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, right now we're going to just take commercial, because, you know, it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to dream for things and to be able to see things in the natural. I'm going to believe for the power of faith to give me all of these things. I don't know about you, but I know that my renaissance is here over in Arcadia Land, Africa.
Faith in a heart when it seems that our lives
Yes, yes, we know it is the blood of the Lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, and let's get ready to go into the talking cure. I'm going to prepare for my purification, but first of all, I'm going to ask for permission to speak by my elder. Elder, do I have permission to speak at this time?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, Elder. Baba, is the libation and the purification ready?
Purification is ready.
Proceed with the purification. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet and get ready for the purification. You can also take out your list of names of your family members if you'd like to participate in this segment. As I pour libations to the east, I pour libations to the west, I pour libations to the south, and I pour libations to the north. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to point one thing out to you. In Egypt, we know that south is never pointing down, it's pointing up, which is controversial, I know, but because we know we have the upper and lower kingdom, Egyptians built their four cardinal directions, so that it was in a direction where south would always be pointing up. And I want to also get my face washed so that I know that I'm not walking in shoes, the holies of holies with a stale face. If you're not standing by now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be on your feet. Stand to your feet. Quiet yourself, taking deep breaths with me, in and out, inhaling the oxygen of the gods that we are, and from the Most Almighty, Ola Dulamar Re, also from Ilede, the god of the outer courts of heaven, who maintains the realms of heaven. Ola Dulamar Re is the god that has created this universe. He has no concern with men here on this earth. As a hierarchy, he has assigned us our own very personal God, and that is Ori, who is placed upon your head, which you must pay homage to now. Stop and pay homage to Ori. If you are to have good success, if you are to have balance in your life, if you are to advance in your day-to-day experience in the workforce, and if you've done well, give Ori praises today. Shout the name of Ori today. You must understand that the personal God is omnipotent, omniconscious, omnipresent. He is forever present within you. You must remember, he must be awakened. He is slumbered, asleep, but you can pull him up or her up in your being right now, allowing your third eye to open and to pay homage to Ori. We pay homage to Ori because Ori is your personal God. We know that Oromola is the African prophet. He was there at the inception of man at the right hand of God. He knows our beginning from our past. He knows the inception of man. He also can forecast our future. He can forecast anything that is going to transpire in our life. If necessary, he can help us to change those acts that are planned in our life. They can be changed, and Oromola is the one that we will consult for any changes. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask that you not be afraid to be a part of the ceremony as we call on the ancestors. It is a ritual and a routine thing that Africans do. There's not anything spooky, and I'm not telling you to do anything that I wouldn't do. This is truly your choice if you want to practice and learn the rituals that are at hand. As I begin to practice and do what I know is necessary for my life and my family, I hope you will begin to understand, as an African, this is the thing that our forefathers and our ancestors did. They paid homage to their loved ones that have transpired. As you begin to take the deep breaths in and out, taking on the form of God, taking on the necessary mind of Christ, we know Jesus was one of our way showers. He was our elder's brother. He was not the only way, but he was one of the ways. We pay homage to him. We do not forget Allah. We do not forget that he was a way shower, a prophet. We do not forget Buddha, because we know he too was a way shower. It's important that we acknowledge all of those that gave us direction for our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not respect the prophets of this world, you're a damn fool. And you do not want to be a damn fool by not acknowledging those loved ones who have transitioned on. As we take the time now to call their names, remember to call your heroes and sheroes, paying homage to them. I'll let you take time to do that. But because of the sake of time, we want to only call our personal loved ones. As you call out your loved one's name now, you normally ring a bell to call them into place. You ring that bell so that you call them into place. And it's very important that you call your loved one's name one by one. We call the names, and we also light a candle and pour water to quench their thirst. The candle is to lead them and guide them. I like to light a candle now for my father's side of the family, and I set that candle before me. I like to also set a glass of water for my father's loved ones, and I say, I say. I like to set a candle before me for my mother's side of the family to light the way and guide them back home again. I like to set a glass of water before my mother's family so that their thirst may also be quenched and that they may not be thirsty. As I set those glasses in front and those water in front, I like to call their names and the names of our ancestors on my father's side. Robert Jenkins. I say Ashe. I call the name of Clara Mae Jenkins. Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. I call the name of George Lilly, Ashe. I call the name of George. I call the name of Son Lilly, Ashe. I call the name of Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Tommy Harvey, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. I call the name of Elijah Day, Ashe. Ivory Day, Ashe. I call the name of Elsa Lilly, Ashe. Agnesha Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. I call Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. I also call Michael Harvey, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, as you call on your ancestors, remembering that they are still alive, they have not gone anywhere, their frequencies are still vibrating, and they can be called to you as well. We acknowledge our ancestors because it's their shoulders that we stand upon. May we forevermore stand upon our ancestors' shoulders. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to go in the sanctuary. As the drum beat line up, position yourself to go into the sanctuary, holding hands two by two, four by four. As we go into the sanctuary, remember we stand on our ancestors' shoulders so that we might be able to go out front. Ancestors, we thank you for being present here today and allowing us to stand on your shoulders. Coming into the sanctuary, children in the middle, children hurry along, and we ask the elders to come out front and take your places. Take your proper places, elders. We know that the ancestors are present here. We've already summoned them, and we ask the ancestors to greet and meet each and every one of the family members. So how is the African family doing today? How is the African family doing today? Hurry to your places, children. Hurry to your places, children. Take your seats. Be seated, please, children. Thank you so very much for taking your places and being seated. Now, we ask the question of how is the African family doing, because we are one. But the most important thing I want you to take note of, we ask, how are the children? Because we know that we must have heroic people fighting for the causes of the children. We must have the children at the center of our hearts. And when the children are fed and clothed and have all of their needs met, we know the family is well. Everything is gauged and measured by how well the children are doing. And as the children prosper and develop, and we help transition them into their proper stages, then we know the family can do well. Without the children doing well, there is no well family. Never forget that, ladies and gentlemen. Just like the Native Americans, we place the children at the center of our being. And they're the cause and the reason for us striving our children every day. Keep the children on your heart. Keep the children on your mind. Because they and we are not, the children are not our future. We are the children's future. If we don't lay the ground and create the atmosphere for them to come and stand on our shoulders, then they have no foundation. Stop telling your children that you are our future. They're waiting for you to pass the baton and come out front and demonstrate and model. You are the children's future. And if you transition from this earth without laying a foundation for them, they have nothing to build upon. Now, I also say that there is no village that raises a child. And it's going to take more than a village just to raise a child. It's going to take a parent to raise up a village. And if there's no parent in that house, then there's no house without a home that has no family or no parent in it. So we must raise up parents. And as we raise up parents, we ultimately will raise up villages. And therefore, the children in lives will be in the center and will advance. Let's raise up the parents today, and we can go back and raise up our village. I don't know if you think that there's going to be a village to rise up or spring up in the heart of the ghetto. It's not going to happen, people. But we have children all over the place, and there are parents that are not being taught. They are waiting to be taught and shown how to do things and to be a family. Once we show them how to be a family, you don't have to worry about the village. The village will rise up on its own. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. You may be seated right now. And as I get ready for this session, I want to tell you that we are taking all of our material from Run and Nefer Amen, from the Medineter Volume 2. This is an initiate book that will take us from glory to glory. I would like to take you right into the subject matter. And before I do that, I just want to take a station identification, look at our time and see how much time we have here. Let me take a station identification, and then we'll get right into the subject. I'm going to bring those Kwanzaa kids out here. Aren't those good, great spellers? I'm just appalled at how well they spell that Kwanzaa, and they put those two A's on the end of it. And most of us will wonder, what are they saying, A-A-A? Yes, they have exaggerated, and there is two A's on there, and that's what they were supposed to do. So let's just give them a round of applause, because we know Kwanzaa is on its way, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but I've been just so happy as a child that I've been out shopping every day, and every time I can get my hands on Christmas utensils, I'm purchasing them. As a matter of fact, today I purchased some Christmas utensils and a Christmas doll who's sitting right here looking at me with those little pudgy cheeks, wondering what I'm going to say next, just sucking it all in. And that's the way our children should be, sitting around us, sucking it all in, while we're talking healthy family issues, not about everything, though. All right, let's get into our subject, ladies and gentlemen. Our subject this evening is the ninth sphere, and we're talking about looking at the ninth sphere, which corresponds to the 14 years of life. Now, let's cover the first 7 years of life, and I'm going to take you backwards as we go backwards, and just bear with me because I'm trying to drive a point here, and hopefully you'll get it at the end. The nine spheres, I'm not reading from page 214 in the Metanetra 2. The nine spheres corresponds to our receptive, to suggested, example, impressions, models, and so on. It is the faculties through which we learn. The first 7 years of life, the periods of greatest learning, are receptive. It is so great that we indiscriminately innate most of what we are exposed to. Unfortunately, we learn most of what we're going to learn at the age of the first 7 years. And many people do transcend the model of behavior. It is the influence of the faculty that makes even well-educated adults take up such proposal-less and self-destructive behaviors as smoking, tobacco, overindulging, alcohol, eating junk food, and belief in the host of enslaving social and political myths. Now, it goes on to say, in section 29, a list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you indiscriminately innate and follow the lead and examples of others. Does your hairstyle and wardrobe change with the styles, with what's in style? Or is your diet or religious belief or political affiliation the results of long and careful scholarly study? Or do they represent your initiation of your parent and others? That means, are you a follower? Are you waiting to see how other people do things? If they're going to turn their lights on outside, if they're going to put their trash can outside first, waiting to see what other people do, becoming a follower, than someone who has studied these things as a student, scholarly studies. It goes on to say, number 30, your identification with your personality as yourself as also an act of indiscriminate innate initiation. You follow without questioning the behavior suggested by the emotional pattern making up your personality. Do you just follow people without questioning what they're doing? Do you ask questions, why are you doing it that way? Or do you wait to see how you want to make your move and do the process rather than following someone else? It is directly antagonistic to your identification with the God within as yourself. List the emotions that characterizes your personality. For example, he says, it was stated that God dwells within your spirit, cannot rise to the foreground and guide the external aspect of your life without your one-point devotion to the resurrection. Devotion to God is expressed by the experiencing of genuine remorse for indulging in any act that keeps it from resurrecting within your being. The sorrow of Asar, and by the unwavering question for the knowledge and the practice of the action that leads to the goal. He goes on to say in segment number 31, a list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you commit a wrong and experience no remorse. You find it difficult or are unable to apologize to others. Are you finding yourself in that position where you can't say, I'm sorry? You find it so difficult to say, that's my fault, I take the blame, I'm the guilty culprit. Number 32, a list must be made of all the scenarios and situations that corresponds to the pursuit in life that you give a higher priority than your spiritual development. Is there anything in your life that comes before your spiritual development? Do you go out and spend all sorts of money and manners of things on things such as clothing? But when it comes to enrolling in a retreat or going to a class, you do not have the money. You don't think it's necessary to spend the money. Then you ought to recheck yourself. You ought to reexamine your priorities. Not only is this a sin against God, it is downright stupid. It's downright stupid, and it says, a list must be made of all the scenarios and situations that correspond to pursuit in life that you give a higher priority than your spiritual development. And it says that it's a sin, that you should give God's spiritual walk the highest priority in developing your spirituality. The quickest way to succeed in your career is to serve God. We've been told, go get you a degree, and you can advance yourself. You can prosper. That's the quickest way to get up the ladder. No. The quickest way, yes, you want to get training. You want to get schooling. I'm not telling you to be a fool and don't get schooling, because you can't go out here and hand them your baptism license and say, look, I've been baptized and here's my baptism certificate. I want a job. That's not going to happen. And you in your right mind know that it's not going down. So let's be clear on this subject. You do have different aspects of your life that you must govern. Your spirituality must be taken care of on a daily basis, not just waiting to Sunday and then you pull it all together and say, oh, I'm going to get that coordinated color that we're supposed to be wearing this Sunday. Everybody wearing blue, so I'm going to go get me a blue outfit to wear with that. Now I'm getting spiritual now. And here comes Sunday rolling around. You know, we're going to go out and go get that service in. And after service, we all going out to, we're going to go out to the buffet-style dinner and eat. So you're wrapping a lot of things around that spiritual time, but you're being fed information. You're not spending time in the Word yourself. The main important thing is, do you spend time and develop time and set time aside for going to classes and attending online segments of advancing your spirituality, or do you get on your knees in the midnight hour and spend time talking to God personally? See, how can you say you're God when you don't know God? I got so many people that tell me, oh, girl, God is this and God is that. They don't even know God. They're talking off the top of their head like they know God on a first-hand basis. The only way that you get to know God, you got to labor with him, and you got to spend some time in his word and with him. Now, for those of you who never had a Bible, if you spend time quietly, that's still impressive. Because guess what? God even speaks to you in your silence. That's the best time for him to speak to you. Because we didn't always have these Bibles. Sometimes we had just had to have God minister to us and through us. There's a scripture that's in the Bible that said, you need not let any man teach you anything, that I will minister to you and through you. And that is where God has his time to speak to us in our quietness. So don't go talking about going to church thinking that's going to make you spiritual. You've got to put the time in. You got to burn the midnight hour. You got to get down in the midnight hour and spend time with God. If your day is so busy you cannot take time away because you got little children, after those children are put to bed, go down on your knees and just say, Lord, have mercy. and let God speak to you. If you don't even know a prayer to pray, because you need to allow him to minister to your spirit. That is the best way. And if you're not taking time to get to know God in the spirit, you will not know the mind of God. And I'll declare, I don't care how many times you say you're God and what you're doing and what you got going on. If you're researching in these books, that's not what I'm talking about. After you do your research in the books, put them down. Go spend some private time communing with God so he can tell you things that no other book will tell you. Now, let me go on. I don't want to get too excited about that. Now, from the foregoing, we can see that the commune had a more sophisticated view of sin than found in the Christian world. It is not merely the wrong done against others, but any action that keeps us from resurrecting to the dwelling divinity. Listen to me. It's not just because you don't lie to your neighbor. What if you lie to yourself? Oh, I'm just going to be all right, but I know I need to go down there and get this looked at because this tooth needs to be removed. You can't lie to yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes people think more of others than they do of themselves. You've got to first pay attention to yourself and think highly of yourself. But not more than you ought to, ladies and gentlemen. But think enough of yourself that you're going to care for yourself and do the necessary things, because people will observe how well you treat yourself to determine how well you're going to treat them. So we certainly want to make sure that we're not just talking about, well, long as I'm not doing dirt to nobody else, it's okay for me to be a junkie and get involved with taking pharmaceutical drugs. It's not okay. It's not okay, because you are doing harm to yourself. You've got to have more get up about yourself and more love for yourself. It's nothing giving yourself a love and giving yourself the highest accolade. I'm telling you, you can't do nothing for nobody until you take yourself down that road and eat of that message and do for yourself. Then when you're done, you go back and reach out to pick your brother up. And it goes on to say, it is not merely the wrong done against others, but any action that keeps us from resurrecting the indwelling divinity. We want to resurrect the indwelling divinity at all times. We are even liable for the failure to develop and properly use our faculties. Now, if you've got a beautiful voice and you've started out as a young child singing, and you've been in all sorts of plays and appeared on Broadway shows, and once you get on your own, you don't know what to do with yourself. You stop singing, you give up that talent as if it was a hobby. You have got to develop those talents, because these are talents that God has given you. You must develop your talents. You just can't sit and become a mold. We are even liable for the failure to develop and properly use our faculties. We are liable. After all, these shortcomings are the reason for our sins and error in life. It is important to note that many items to be incorporated into the list are not by Western standards. I repeat, not by Western standards, ladies and gentlemen. Western standards in sin. Or thoughts as incorrect behavior by most people. But this is exactly why Westerners are riddled with problems. That's why Westerners have so many problems they don't know how to get out of. They can't fix. They're riddled with problems. They don't know how they're going to manage. They create problems for themselves. When they could have did something right in the first place, and not sinned against God, because when we sin against God, ladies and gentlemen, there's repercussions and consequences and a lot of cleaning up, unnecessary work, because you got to understand, you don't sin because you think it's in season. You say, no, there's too many follow-up or repercussions and consequences that I don't need in my life. And we think about the remorse that we're going to have if we offend God. We don't sin because we don't want to offend God. It's important to note that many items to be incorporated into the list are not Westerner standards of sin, ladies and gentlemen, or thoughts of an incorrect behavior by most people. But this is exactly why Westerners are riddled with problems, it said. Most of the causes of problems have eluded their perceptions, meaning that we have created them. Now, before we go on any further, I want to tell you something, that this is a modification program. And the steps that we're taking is going to change you. However, when you get ready to do the last segment of this program, you do not want to, you should not be involved with any type of pharmaceutical drugs, because when you take pharmaceutical drugs and meditate, the outcome may not be the same. You may not want to be involved with alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, et cetera, any of that, because those are psychotropic drugs, and they can alter the outcome of your meditation. I repeat, if you are going to do meditation, you want to leave these other items alone, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, et cetera, because this is a behavior-altering program for doing meditation, and you are not trying to allow those things to interfere. Now, let me go backwards here. I want to tell you something. The first 7 years of your life is changing. Just as you know that, the first 7 years you learn what you're going to learn as a foundation. A child formalizes his thoughts and opinions. At the age of 5 years old, concepts are put in place, are embedded. By the time he is 6 years old, guilt sets in. He understands that it's okay to have remorse for doing wrong, and guilt sets in. He can feel shame. Then by the time he's 7 years old, he is able to recall things that he's personally done to offend God, and he will take remorse. And we're speaking on a spiritual level of what you're going to transpire the first 7 years. You must be very sure that you understand that during the last 7 years of the trimester, you're going into your elementary stage. At that point, you are finalizing and developing what it is you're going to master. You're working on repetitively repeating things and mastering things. But your thoughts and concepts are set in place now. So what you're about to learn later on, you're just building on the skeleton, building on the foundation. So by the time a child goes on to school at 7, the foundation has been laid for him. Those are the times from birth to 7 that the windows are open. And then after that, the windows begin to vaguely close, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take you backwards for a minute here. I want you to understand that when you begin to look at the different stages, we're going to start back at the sphere of 0 so you can see what it was like to go from the sphere of 0. And we're talking about the tree of life, the 10 sets of wrongs. I'm going to go over those again because we just vaguely touched on them yesterday. But let me go over those, the 10 sets of wrongs that will prevent the resurrection of God within you. If we do these things, it's going to prevent the God from rising up in us. And that is why you can say, maybe I have not pressed God forward yet because I am not aware of the things that God, what is a prerequisite that needs to be present in order for God to show up. The Amen 0 above the tree of life. Now imagine at the top is 0. That is the Amen. That is all spiritual, ladies and gentlemen. And it says here on page 200, Amen corresponds to the unshakable inner peace. Hetep. That results from spiritual training and the evolution of consciousness to the subjective realm. This is happiness, ladies and gentlemen, pure nirvana, happiness. There is no elevation of moods from success, nor deflation from reversals and losses. This is the equilibrium emotional state of the divine self. The Asar man is in a state of eternal joy, which flows from his will, ladies and gentlemen. Joy to his important an emotion to make in depth to the upper dawn of life and forces beyond our direct control. The Asar man is happy and joyful. Now let me go on. The sphere number one, the Asar man, realizing that awesome complexity of functions of your body and mind is not managed by some dumb activity of molecules and atoms. Let me stop here. Ladies and gentlemen, we say that we're an atom and that we have molecules within an atom. I understand there's supposed to be six atoms and six molecules and electrolytes, and we go on and on, but we're protons and atoms, and we are made up of all of these electrical molecules. But what about that black hole when there was no atom? What was there to create you? Nothingness was there. They don't even know what existed other than a vibration. So you're more than just atoms and molecules. At the core of your being is God, ladies and gentlemen. That is what is at the core. Think of what that means if you can. God is witness to your every thought. He knows your every thought, feelings and actions and et cetera, et cetera. If there are things that you would not do in the presence of others or certain people, yet you would do when you are alone, who do you think you're with then? By yourself? God is forever present. God is forever present, ladies and gentlemen. To believe in God is to acknowledge its omnipotence. Omnipresence is to believe in God. Then you know he cannot leave the God Ori, not the God the Creator. Let's get it straight. Don't get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. That is why it's so hard for you to believe that God is everywhere, because they're telling you it's the God of the universe. But it's not so. It's the God that has been assigned to you, Ori. If there are things that you would not do in the presence of others or certain people, yet you do them when you're alone, then it's error, it's sin. To believe in God is to acknowledge his omnipresence, ladies and gentlemen, meaning he's everywhere. And from the kinetic perspective, his presence at the center of your being. God is always at the center of your being. Remember the God Ori, not the God the Creator. And number two, it goes on to say, on page 201, a list must be made of all the things along with their scenarios and situations that you would not do in the presence of others or certain people, yet you would do when you are alone. Make a list of those things. Do that as a homework assignment of the things that you would not do. Asar also corresponds to the part of our being through which we establish our unity with creators in the world. A list must be made of all these things that you would not do if you were in the presence of God. Now, sphere number two, one of the meanings of the making of man is the likeness of God. It is the endowment of man with the ability to receive from within his spirit the solution to all problems in life. This fact escapes most people because of the general misunderstanding of the meaning of knowledge. We must take note, ladies and gentlemen, it says, of the fact that when we are thinking, we are engaged in a process that seems like we are in conducting a mental conversation with ourselves. It really, we are conversing into words, i.e. giving verbal form to the informed content of our consciousness, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, we are informing ourselves when we pray to ourselves. If you practice cutting off your thoughts before they are fully formed, verbalizing, you will see that you know what you are going to put into verbal form before it you do. Now, let me go on here. Of course, this matters. We must observe one of the most important laws of the Tree of Life, and that law is the law of equilibrium. Receiving intuition from within, directly from God, does not result from its simplest paying attention to hunches. We must be worthy of such reception. We must cultivate our spirituality and dedicate ourselves to growing into the higher aspect of our being. To the degree that we grow in spirituality and purity, we will be guided from within. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? You need not let any man teach you. You'll be guided from within. We must also recognize the teaching we can receive from outside ourselves, which comes from the divine guidance received by sage. To rely primarily on the intuitive source of learning does not negate the vitality of positive external guidance. You must also rely on God to internally speak to you, not only on the external. Now, in the sphere, the third sphere, our spiritual power resides in the third sphere. To worship God is to acknowledge that it shares with man its spiritual powers. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have access to God's spiritual power because God shares a body with us. Many people would rather remain at the human stage of development, repeating over and over again, "I can't, no, I can't do that," when confronted with challenges others have met, then to seek the knowledge of how to awaken and use this awesome, awesome power that we have within us, that is God. And this is the power that God has knowledge of how to awaken and use the awesome power that God has shared with man. Ladies and gentlemen, God is trying to wake you up and tell you, "I'm here. Use my power. I lend you my ashe." We must always keep in mind that God saved man by sharing his powers with him or her. The true praise and worship of God is the dedication of one's life to the awakening and development of these powers. Once you know you have the powers there, wake up and start using them. God has openly told you he's sharing them with you. Number 8, a list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you deny your ability to do the things that at least you have seen others do. In time, you will go beyond this horizon, ladies and gentlemen. Do those as an assignment. Now, Maya is our fourth sphere. Maya corresponds to the holistic view of a thing. As such, a view requires a model of holistic cosmological or Kabbalism through the individuals. The thoughts, the individuals cannot be fallible for looking at things in a non-holistic manner. But we all have, as an adult, an obligation to learn and master the holistic ways of life. We're obligated to master them, ladies and gentlemen, it says. Divine law or truth, we incur liabilities for not making this learning a high priority We incur a liability when we don't make these trainings a high priority in our lives. Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, it is important to pay close attention to the principles based on the tree of life that we're talking about here today. In the holistic model, I might add, of thinking, guiding our thoughts and thinking about these issues of life, we must distinguish the holistic study, ladies and gentlemen, from divine law, which is conducted through the Maya faculty, models of holistic thinking, from the readings of scriptures, which is conducted through the lower intelligent faculties of the eighth sphere, while in the former, every principle is filtered in the proper category on the tree, which allows us to see the relationship to all others in the latter. Each principle is. Presence as an isolation bit of information, that is why there is so much latitude for interpretation of scriptures, which allows for the perpetuation of incorrect behavior of people who consider themselves faithful followers of their religion. In the Naiad approach, we understand by grasping the subject by the underlying principles which the Sebek scriptures approach, merely grasp ideas by their external aspect. Number nine, it goes on and says, a list must be made again, ladies and gentlemen, that's right, of all the scenarios and situations in which you spend time in the pursuit of interest that you have placed above acquiring the knowledge of a cosmological model of thoughts, the tree of life, Hopi, Indian medicine wheel, etc., which would allow you to know truth, that is, to approach the issues of life holistically. You need to approach the issues in life holistically, looking at the medicine wheel, looking at the naturopathic medicine, looking at a way of doing things more naturally. Maya is truth, ladies and gentlemen, which is understood from the interdependence and eerie relationship between things with each other and the whole. Roots are not created without the soil in mind, ladies and gentlemen. Leaves are not created without the air in mind. Red blood cells are not created without oxygen and the makeup of the body in mind. A glove is not made to fit gloves, and a screwdriver is not made to screwdrivers, and so on, et cetera, et cetera. All things are made with their natural opposite receptors and the whole to which they belong. In mind, only by considering these relationships can we discover the truth, the correct use of purpose, behavior, and so on of things. A list must be made once again of all the scenarios and situations in which you interact with using things in a manner not intended by their place in the scheme of the whole. As understood by the holistic perception of things, i.e., we can always argue for incorrect use of things by focusing on only one aspect of the thing, i.e., taking it out of context. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me go on to sphere number five. It is our identification with our persons and its faculties and frailties that causes us at times to avoid suffering loss or to seek gain, even if we must do so at the expense of others. This is the essence of injustice. A list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you behave as described above. A variation on hetero schemes of detachment from the person is the ruthless opposite of ourselves to the desire and conditioning of the lower part of being. Many people fail to realize that a law of their being frames in the fifth sphere demands this type of behavior as the ultimate stands against the lowest nature. Instead, they seek a chemical way out in the use of diet pills, cigarettes, patches, expectance to overcome habits solely through hypnotherapy or subliminal messages, and so on. We are here learning that you have to engage in all 10 aspects of your being in order to change your life, ladies and gentlemen. One of them, Heteru, is ruthless and resolutions oppositions of your habit, as a list must be made of all the scenarios and situations in which you fail to force yourself to follow your will and seek some way to ease the way. Heteru also corresponds to the source of divine justice. Belief in God includes the realization that just will be protected and vindicated by God. Let me repeat that. The just will be protected and vindicated by God. We must violate this law, protected by God. We violate this law by giving in to the fear generated by the absence of the material means of dealing with obstructions and injustice in others. That is nothing that can be stand up to God. Power in defense of the just is shown in the name of the deity. The Egyptians have rendered the name as he who is upon the devil, he who is upon Heru. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me stop for a minute. I'm giving you the different spheres here. We're going to pick back up with these spheres on tomorrow. We'll start with sphere number 6. Let me go on to say one thing to you. Now, these 10 things that you do not want to do against God, these 10 things that stop you from becoming a God, you know what to do. You list those things that will cause you to offend God. You list them and write them down. And bring them back to class tomorrow so we could talk about them. These are the things that are going to help you to be able to press your God forward in your life. And as you begin to look at the first 14 years of your life, you will know that your spirituality should be on target on that timeline. You should be growing spiritually. Remember that zero is the top of the head where your pure spirit, and it goes from your being from the bottom of your feet up. Now, it's important that you must understand that making a list will help you be reminded of the things that you do to offend God. It's for your own personal growth. It's not for mine. Now, at this particular point, I would like to stop and bring our segment to a close and say I thank you for being a part of this segment, and I'd like to play Coochie Charges Lita for you as we get ready to go out of here, ladies and gentlemen.
We know where we want to.
Gentlemen, we are going to have to press those gods forward in our lives and realize that God is going to have to be recognized as omnipresent at all times. So there is no getting away from God and going off to ourselves thinking that we can sin against God who lives with us at all times. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we think about those 10 things that we do not want to do to offend God from coming forward. At all times, we should work towards pressing God forward. And usually God shows up through circumstances in our lives. When there are issues in our lives, we press him forward without even knowing it. So you need to be conscious of the fact that you're working towards pushing God forward at all times, having hierarchy and having priority of your spiritual life before anything else. Now, you don't want to go and offend God and not have remorse in your heart or ask for forgiveness. It's okay that we are human and we're fallible and we're going to make mistakes. And we're going to offend God at one point in our life. We ought to be ready to admit it, ask for apologies, and go ahead on, because you're in a sinful state when you are asking for forgiveness. But if you do not acknowledge that you have a sin and you do not point it out and ask for forgiveness, you cannot continue to build upon falseness and think that God is going to show up in your life. Now, remember, God will vindicate you. He is your best advocate, and he will vindicate you under circumstances where you're being assaulted. Therefore, you don't have to fight any battles. When you are talking about gearing up, fighting battles, you must remember God has already told you he would vindicate you. He is the heavyweight that resides within you. You only need to talk about him and his character. You don't need to go gearing up, getting your boxing gloves on, like you're going to take somebody out. See, that's where you have a problem and you get in trouble. God knows those who offend you. And if you're offended and you don't talk to God about it and let him know the issues you're having, then shame on you. Because he said he would vindicate you and he would vindicate your adversary, whoever's against you. If there's somebody against you, he said if his word be in you and you be in his word, you can ask him whatever you will. You can also ask him to vindicate you. You can also ask him to become your personal advocate, to assist you. So therefore, you don't have to get your hands dirty and fight. And I know what I'm talking about, because I've had to ask him to show up on many occasions to vindicate me. Not because you are afraid or coward, it's because he's already told you. I have tools and I have powers that I'm sharing with you, and all you need to understand is that we cooperatively work together on one part, on one side. Now, that means you got a posse, ladies and gentlemen. You don't travel alone. You have a posse that's traveling with you. And at all times, you can speak to him. And I'm not talking about Ola Dumare, the God who created the universe. I'm going telling people, well, how come God can be here with me when he's tending to things over there in Europe? And how can God can be down there in Mississippi when he's dealing with the people in Haiti? How can he be all places? That is the point, ladies and gentlemen. He can't. That creator God would be a schizophrenic if he was doing all that. That's why he had to. Think about it now. He had to create you your own personal God. I don't think you guys remember what I told you the story about the prophet going all the way, and he asked who could go all the way with me. None of them, not his brother, not his mother, not his sister, not even God, the God up in the sky that you think created the heaven and earth, the ones that you think that lives in the sky, but the one that created the universe, not even him could go all the way with him. Only the God that was assigned to him, that was breathed inside of his mouth. God breathed inside of the mouth of man to put his spirit there, and he left a portion of himself there called Ori, and he became God. And he lives with you. That is the God that you must speak to every day. If you are to have good success, prosperity, you are to thank that God, Ori. But you also ought to pay homage to the Creator God. Creator God up in heaven, Elede, the outer rims of heaven, who protects and guides. Then you have Olorun, who deals with the issues of men, Oromala, who also deals with the issues of men. Then you have Ori, who is on your head. It's like your third eye. Usually, Egyptians used to put a symbol, a serpent on their forehead to let people know that their third eye had been opened and that they were seer. That means that your Ori is working for you. Do something to let people know that you are able to see Ori and you collaborate with him on one accord. He's awesome, ladies and gentlemen. He's awesome. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's with you at all times. That's why he can go with you everywhere you go. When you get up, he's up. When you go to sleep, he's going to sleep. He's with you, and that's Ori. And that is not the same God as the Creator. Don't forget that, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to thank you for going all the way with Omi today. I'd like to thank you for being initiated and getting ready to transition up the Tree of Life so you can go through these 29 days and become a master. I know you're feeling it right now. I sense that there's somebody out there that's already ready to go up to the spiritual level of zero, up the Kabbalah Tree of Life. If you're already there, ladies and gentlemen, then you're right on target. A lot of us are light years behind you in our spiritual teachings. A lot of us have been putting other things in front of God and not our spiritual practices and studies. You have to study to show yourself approval, ladies and gentlemen. Our workmen needed not to be ashamed, but rightfully dividing the word of truth. It's important that you should go and study from more than one book, cross-reference and resource. And I'm not talking about the Concordian Strong or the New International or the King James Version. There are other books out there like the Holy Tablets. There's also books out there, Hebrew Honey. Go and find, and there's the scrolls out there. Go and find those books and read and research from them and develop yourself from the inside out. I'm looking forward to these next couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to you becoming a master, advancing yourself from glory to glory. More better, as Spike Lee would say, and much better. More better and much better. Advancing yourself, perfecting yourself. Go head on, God, with the little G, with the little G. You and I are the little G. It's all right to call yourself the little G, but don't go calling yourself the creator, the God. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be getting out of here right about now, and I want to play the drums as we get up out of here, and I say, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and good evening. Oh, double.